Last week we began to look at a subject, and I want to, by the special grace of God, try as much as possible to place perspective on that subject. We began by looking at a portion of Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, where the Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth." And we alighted upon that portion, "out from out of thy mouth," and noted that God was not really speaking about the word domiciling inside our mouth so that we don't have room for any other thing. But rather, what God meant was that we should make sure that this book of the law, his word, does not leave our hearts. Because we observed that the Bible says it is out of the heart, out of the abundance or the overflow of the heart, that the mouth speaks. And so it is essentially what is inside your heart that you will speak with your mouth. We mentioned that there's a bubbling that takes place inside the heart. And the heart is always desirous to speak, to express what is in it. And there are people who are unable to bring their hearts under that control. Then we said, okay, if the heart is going to speak what is in it, then we have to ask the question, what really is inside the heart? And the Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17, I think it's verse 9 or so, that the heart of man is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Nobody can really know his heart. The heart of man is deceitful. And then we began to look at the deception or the kind of things that we can find in the heart of man. A man will lie and will have a straight face, as though he were telling the truth, and yet he's lying. He would make a statement and expect you to believe him, even though from the get-go, he never intended that that statement would amount to anything. And we said that the reason why this is so is because the heart, the original heart that we took from our forefathers, from Adam, and so on and so forth, came with sin packaged in it. That heart is an uncircumcised heart. And we said, when you see this uncircumcised heart, you will notice that it is proud, it is arrogant, it is stiff-necked, stubborn, rebellious, loveless, selfish, uncultivated, unbroken, it is wild. It always resists the Holy Spirit. It is fleshly, it is carnal, it is hostile to God. It is disobedient to the word of God. It cannot receive the things of God. It does not have the mind of Christ. Even when this fellow is born again, he's essentially a spiritual baby, unable to bear the word of God, and he manifests the works of the flesh. That being the state of the heart, it means that this heart, if it is ever going to be able to speak the word of God and speak it as it should be spoken, it must be circumcised. In James chapter 3, the Bible tells us that with the same mouth we bless and we curse. This ought not to be so. But it is happening. Why? Because the heart is yet uncircumcised. We said that the foreskin must therefore be circumcised. The circumcision of the heart is not like the physical human circumcision. This is a circumcision that takes place without the agency of human hands. It is done primarily by God. We have to take this heart to God and say, "Lord, this is my heart. Circumcise it." And I believe we prayed that prayer last week. Now, we want to move on because circumcision is a total package that only begins with the cutting away of the foreskin. All we have done is what? To remove the foreskin. And once the foreskin is removed, the heart itself, the foreskin covered the heart from receiving the word. And the moment it was torn apart, the heart was now exposed. And there's something else to be done. Now, before we go into that discussion this morning, I want to tell a story. And listen very carefully to this story, because this story is the totality of the message for today. There was this preacher, powerful man of God, who always wore an agbada, big agbada. He was a big, very big man. He was a very massive man. And he was a powerful preacher. He did a lot of preaching. He did a lot of missions work. He did a lot of church planting. He did so many things. He was an active man when it comes to the word of God. Anywhere there was a meeting, he was invited. And he preached. But people noticed something about this man. They noticed that every time they walked past him, or they came near him, there was a putrefying smell.
There was an aroma and an odor, a bad smell. Initially, they didn't think much of it because they themselves had that smell. It's just that they thought that he would not have that smell. And once in a while, when they come near him, they noticed the smell of a fragrance, a perfume. But then they still noticed that there was this bad smell. And people would come to him and say, "Son, I have a problem in my life. There's this bad odor that is always following me about. What can we do?" The man said, "Ah, don't worry, I have the odor too. But we can solve the problem. Bring oil." So they will go and bring oil. And they will rub the oil on them. And for a moment, their fragrance, their smell will change. He said, "That's exactly what happens. I just rub this oil on myself and the fragrance changes." But after a while, the smell comes back. Then one day, there was a meeting and another man of God was preaching in that meeting. That man of God began to speak about the circumcision of the heart and he said they should pray. And they were praying. This man, this powerful man of God with Agbada, was also praying. As he began to pray, suddenly his Agbada talked. And as the Agbada talked, because he was praying for circumcision, as the Agbada talked, lo and behold, the man had dead bodies tied to himself. He said, no wonder he was smelling. Even though he preached powerfully, there were dead bodies tied to his body. And they were wondering. But as they also began to pray, and their own clothes were tearing, they noticed that there were also dead bodies around them. Like that pastor, they began to wonder what is called. Reverend, by the time the foreskin of your heart is caught, you begin to see dead bodies. You begin to see the things that have been causing the bad odor that is coming from you. The story of this man is the story of every one of us here. We have been born again. We have been baptized. We will speak in tongues. But abuse is in our mouth. It's a dead body. Gossip is in our mouth. It's one of the dead bodies. Fornication is in our lives. It's one of the dead bodies. Adultery, one of the dead bodies. Stealing, one of the dead bodies. Lying, one of the dead bodies. I want to read to you some verses of scripture from the NLT. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I want to read from verse, or let me take it from verse 1 so that we get a fuller picture. "Now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law, don't you know that the law applies only to a person who is still living? Let me illustrate. When a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, the laws of marriage no longer apply to her. So while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law and does not commit adultery when she remarries." So this is the point. The law no longer holds you in its power because you died to its power when you died with Christ on the cross. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, you can produce good fruit, that is, good deeds for God. When we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us. And the law aroused these evil desires that produced sinful deeds, resulting in death. But now, we have been released from the law, for we died with Christ, and we are no longer captive to its power. Now, we can really serve God, and not in the old way, by obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way, by the Spirit. Well then, am I suggesting that the law of God is evil? Of course not. The law is not sinful, but it was the law that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin took advantage of this law and aroused all kinds of forbidden desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have the power. I felt fine when I did not understand what the law demanded. But when I learned the truth, I realized I had broken the law and was a sinner, doomed to die. So the good law, which was supposed to show me the way of life, instead gave me the death penalty. Sin took advantage of the law and fooled me. It took the good law and used it to make me guilty of death. But still, the law itself is holy and right and good. But how can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my doom? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation. So we can see now how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good commandment for its own evil purpose or evil purposes. The law is good then. The trouble is not with the law, but with me. Because I am sold into slavery. With sin,
as my master. I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I can't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. I know perfectly well that what I am doing is wrong, and my bad conscience shows that I agree that the law is good. But I can't help myself, because it is sin inside me that makes me do these evil things. I know I am rotten through and through, so far as my own sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. But if I am doing what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing it. The sin within me is doing it. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another law at work within me that is at war with my mind. This law wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from the life that is dominated by sin? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. How many of us can relate with that? Because I know that we all can. I know that this thing is wrong, but I don't have the power not to do it. Is there anybody here who knows that stealing is wrong? I want to see a show of hands. Is there anybody here who knows that lying is wrong? Fornication is wrong. Adultery is wrong. I want to see a show of hands so that we know whether there are people that we need to tell that this thing is right or wrong. That drinking alcohol is wrong. That giving bribe is wrong. That dressing seductively is wrong. That masturbation is wrong. How many of us know that is wrong? Praise the name of the Lord. So it is not, the problem is not that we don't know that it's wrong. The problem is we can't stop ourselves from doing it. And note, we're not talking about people who are not born again. We're talking about people who are born again. Do you know there are people who are born again who are still practicing lesbianism? Who are still practicing homosexuality? They are born again, they are in church. Do you know there are people who are born again who are still doing witchcraft? Who are still joining secret cults? What seems to be the problem? The Bible says, it is sin. Where? Inside. When that powerful preacher and brother talk, the first king was torn and they saw those dead bodies. What were they seeing there? Sin that was still attached to their heart. He's been born again. Now, the first king has been cut off. Suddenly, we see, hey, and every one of us, thinking that man has a problem. By the time our own two talk, we began to see it. In this verse, in the King James, it says, who will deliver me? In verse 24, it says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Let me explain that to us. And you will see why I used it in the illustration. In those days, when they want to punish somebody, and they want to give him a very cruel death, they don't want to kill him, but they just want him to, they don't want anybody to come near him. After they've executed a criminal, they will now hang that criminal with a chain to that man. He's alive, but there's a dead body attached to him. Who will go near him? He himself will find it difficult to sleep because of the dead body that is attached. So everywhere he's going, what is happening? He's dragging a dead body along with him. And you know dead bodies. By the second, third day, what's happening? It's smelling. And maggot is coming out. So you will look at the man. The maggot is coming out from the dead body and touching his body. It's smelling. Who can go near that kind of a man? It is worse than a death sentence. That's what Paul was describing here. That we have become like that wretched man. We are born again. But sin has not been dealt with. Sin is still in the body. It's still in the heart. And that's why the heart speaks blessings with one side and curses with the other side. That's why a Christian can stand up and say, let's call down fire upon these people. You remember? When John and James told the Lord Jesus, let's call down thunder upon us, what did he say to them? He said, you don't know the kind of spirit that is working in you. When we say, all my enemies fall down and die, and we are referring to human beings, we don't know the kind of spirit that it is, a body of death that is attached to us. When the Lord went to the tomb of Lazarus, and he said to them, roll away the stone. What did they say? What did Martha say to him? He said, please leave the stone. By now, it's stinking. We would very much like
to keep this body of death, this body of sin, this sin in us, confined to a tomb and seal it with a rock. Let it be smelling there. The unfortunate part is, it is tied to us. So everywhere we go, what is happening? The smell is there. He's a good preacher, and yet he's a wife beater. He's a good preacher, and yet he's a very angry man. He's a powerful teacher of the word, and yet he's committing adultery. How do you relate it? As a body of sin. Once that foreskin is open, I'm sure many of us are expecting to see a clean heart. No, sir. The heart you took from Adam, what does it have inside? Sin. It has an original sin that has now given back to several other sins. Somebody said once, it is by one man's sin that we are saved. It is by one man's righteousness that we are delivered. It's true. It's the word of God. But it is not just the sin of Adam. Do you understand that we're delivered from? The sin of Adam has given back to other sins. Let me tell you another little story. This one is a shorter one. A man reviewed his life. He noticed that his grandfather was a thief. His own father was an armed robber. He, a hired assassin. What has happened now? If it was the sin of his grandfather, what should he be doing? Stealing. But the sin has given birth to a greater one, and a greater one, and a greater one. When a little child dies, a little child doesn't know his left from his right. Do you know he goes to heaven? Why? Because the only sin in him is the sin of Adam. He hasn't gotten the knowledge yet to acquire new sins. Even though he does some things, it's just that original sin that's making him to be strong. That original sin that's making him to do sin. But by the time he now understands life, he himself, on the platform of that original sin, begins to commit his own sin. So he increases. Sin gives birth to more sin. So having opened up the heart, we now need to remove sin in the heart. We need to destroy this body of death. How do we do it? If you notice what we read in Romans chapter 7, you will see that this man is struggling for one singular reason. He is trying very hard to live right. Do you understand that? He knows the law of God and is trying to live right on the basis of the law. But what is he observing? What is his observation? That he can't do it. So there is another force. It's like the man whose body has taken over control of himself. It doesn't matter whether he sleeps at 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. The body will wake up at what time? 5. The body is in charge. It doesn't matter how tired he is. The body will just get up at 5. That's what it means by there is another law. There is another force at work. I don't want to wake up at 5. But this force in me is getting up at 5. And every time I try not to wake up at 5, I discover that this law inside me, what does it do? It takes over and wakes up at 5. There's nothing I can do about it. If therefore I must stop waking up at 5, what do I have to do? I have to deal with that law, that force inside of me that is getting up when it's not supposed to get up. Right? Now let's go back to the Bible. Romans chapter 8 now. And I want to read now the New King James. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let's pause. Let's examine that scripture a little bit. Is either the scripture is repeating what it has said in a different dimension, or the scripture is building on something? What do I mean by that? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I think that's a full statement. But then he now says, to those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And there seems to be a problem there. Because I thought, if you are in Christ, you're already walking in the Spirit. Is that not so? But that doesn't seem to be the interpretation that is given here. The interpretation being given here would suggest that even though you are in Christ, it is possible to walk according to the flesh. It is also possible to walk according to the Spirit. So when he's saying there is therefore now no condemnation, who is it that he's talking about who is not condemned? It is the man who is in Christ and who is walking in the Spirit. The man who is in Christ and who is walking in the flesh is condemned. Do you understand? Good. Let's go to verse 2 now. For the law, or the force, or the power of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law, or the power, or the force, or the influence of sin and death. When that Agbada tore open and we saw the dead bodies chained to this man. If you take hammer to break that chain, what will happen? You will kill that man. I hope you know that. Human effort can never rid the man of sin. He needs a greater force. And that greater force is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So when the Spirit comes in, automatically what happens? All the chains break. The yoke is broken by reason of the anointing. And the Spirit of God is the anointing. With one visitation, the man is circumcised and set free. And in the place of the putrid smell of death that we used to see from him, what do we now have? The sweet fragrance of the Holy Spirit. So we see the man, we say, wow, this man has changed. Why? We are smelling nice things from his body. He's not having to use perfume to cover it. That's what many of us do. A sin chained to our bodies. I'm talking of this, the heart of man now, to the spirit man. Sin is chained to it. And we are trying very hard. We get up in the morning and say, ah, Father, no, today won't happen that. Today, I'm going to make sure that I won't abuse anybody. At your gate, they will pour water on you. You know, that's a direct attack. You say, look at this Satan. You want me to abuse him, I won't abuse him. You're happy. You have conquered that thing. You walk down the road, they say something to you, you are cautious. You say, go away, I won't abuse this one. Then, a time will come, you won't even realize what has happened. They just say something. Before you know what is going on, what has happened? Machine gun fire. All the ones that you didn't say, that have built up, you are now releasing. And when you are finished talking, you say, ah! And you say you are born again. Condemnation comes all over you. Who knows what I'm talking about here? Is there anybody who knows what I'm... Oh, you people are saints? Praise the name of the Lord. It happens to every one of us. What we are trying to define here as circumcision, and this whole process, is what the Bible calls sanctification. It's a process. It begins with the ripping apart of the foreskin of the heart. When that foreskin is exposed, suddenly we see the sins that were inside you. Now, the word of God has something to attack. You know, before, the foreskin covered it. So the word of God could not really hit it. And he has a way of bouncing the word of God up. When the word of God is supposed to say, go away. But when the anointing was present that day, the foreskin ripped open and the body of death appeared. You know what what our problem is? Many of us are like man. When they roll away the stone and they smell it, they say, I'm going to cover it back. So when they are bad upstairs, what do? We quickly go and pick it up and cover it again. We say, at least I was managing it. Let's manage it. And we continue to manage. We come to church, we smile. But at home, we are crying because we know this sin is a problem. We know we don't want to do this thing, but we find ourselves doing it. We have been to several deliverance meetings. They have laid hands. If they are talking of, if laying on of hands could set us free, we would not only be free, there would be nothing to free again in us. Because we have been everywhere. They have laid hands on us every meeting. But the sin is still there. How do we deal with it? Simple. The force of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus says it all. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. The Lord Jesus camouflaged himself as sin so that he could gain entrance. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He went in camouflage as though he was a sinner. They crucified him only to discover that they crucified a righteous man. And sin was defeated. So when he comes into our lives, sin is defeated. The real problem is, for many of us, we are ignorant of what took place. So we have excuses. Let me tell you one of the excuses we give. In my family, we all quarrel. Who understands what I'm saying? They say, that is what happens in our family. My father is like that. His grandfather, if you see my junior brother, you will see quarrel. Me, my own quarrel is a small level. We are justifying something that shouldn't be in you if you are born again. If any man be in Christ, what happened to him? He's a new creature. He's been created anew. Who will deliver us from this body? Christ has done it all. We don't need to do it again. He is there to do it all for us. He said that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the spirit. This is the biggest challenge that a Christian has. How do you walk? According to the flesh or according to the spirit? That's the biggest challenge that we have. We are born again, that's true. But who is in charge? Let me show you something. Romans chapter 6 from verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the ones slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You did what? You obeyed from where? From where? What form of doctrine? The one, the original one that was delivered to you, the one that delivered you, the one that set you free. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Whoever you are obeying is your master.
The man who says, insult this man, abuse it, slap it, and you do it. Who is that man now?
Is your master.
You can stand there from now to tomorrow and say, I'm a child of God. I'm a friend of God. I'm a lover of God. But when the instructions are coming from the flesh and from the spirit, the question is, who do you obey?
That is your master.
So you can say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. But if you're not obeying Jesus, then you must be obeying the devil. And what we are trying to do here is to deal with this contradiction that is taking place in our lives. How can we have Christ in us and yet we yield to the flesh? Let's go back to Romans chapter 8 and read from verse 5 to verse 9. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, if you are listening to the flesh, which is the sinful nature, your life is going to be filled with sin. If you are listening to the Spirit of God, which is the new man, what is going to happen to your life? Your life will be filled with the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. It leads to death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. A lot of people quarrel with the word of God and give us reasons why. They say, no, it can't be so. It can't be so. No. This was a cultural matter. We're speaking of something that is not cultural. I remember one time we looked at head covering here. And as we looked at it, Paul made a statement. He said, which culture does not see something wrong with a man wearing long hair? Do you know if a culture that accepts it? There's no culture in the world that accepts it. Just like there's no culture in the world that accepts homosexuality. Men just want to force us to accept it. And then he goes on to say that there is no church that accepts a woman who prays in public or who prophesies in public with her hair uncovered. There is no church that accepts it. And people think that they can now create their own laws to suit themselves. So even though the word of God, which should have made us to prosper, is coming to us, what is now happening is we are unable to receive it because what is in charge is what the sinful nature. Let's leave, because the next one is talking about how we are enemies of God and so on and so forth. And let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, 17 and 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is the solution to this problem. You don't want to be carrying about this body of death. What should you do? Walk in the Spirit. Just walk in the Spirit. In verse 17 it says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There is a competition, a struggle taking place inside of you every time. A decision is to be taken. The Spirit of God says, this is it. The flesh says, this is how we normally do it. The question is, what is your decision going to be? Go to verse 24 of Galatians 5. He says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with what? Its passions and desires. Everybody who truly is in Christ, it is expected that he is walking in the Spirit. But the problem is there are many people who are in Christ who are still walking in the flesh. That's why we are having the contradictions that we have in the body of Christ. You see, somebody says he's a believer, and yet he doesn't believe. He says he's a believer, and yet he is doubting God. God will say, sit down here. There's something I'm bringing to you. After 10 years of sitting down, we jump up. He said, I don't think God is going to do this again. What do we now do? We've rolled up our sleeves, and we go and do it. The fellow was sitting down here before. Who was the person sitting down there? The Spirit, right? Controlled by the Spirit of God. The moment he got up, who took over there now?
The flesh.
But he's still born again. How do you know that the people who said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, Lord, we praise your name. How do you know they were not unbelievers? They were actually born again. But they began to walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. And the problem arose. How do we deal with this issue? How do we deal with this problem? Because after the foreskin has been torn open, we must begin to pack out the nyama that was inside the flesh, that was inside the heart. If we don't remove it, and we begin to fill our hearts with the word of God. Number one, you discover that the word will be filled, the heart will be full quickly. Because there's no more space. And the only thing you can do is little. You know, if you have eaten food and you have not gone to stool, it doesn't matter how nice the food is, you can't eat more than a little bit because there's no more space in your stomach. You must first of all evacuate before you can take in something new. So in the same way, you have to evacuate the heart. Otherwise,
you cannot begin to put new things in. So even though the foreskin has been removed, the heart must now be evacuated of the old things that were there. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll read verse 17 to 19, then I'll jump to 22 and jump to some other things. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 19. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. I cannot understand how a Christian, born again, can pick fashion from the world. Can somebody explain that to me? How is it that the world dictates how we dress in the church of God? That we cannot decipher between what is decorous and what is not. And we say that's how they wear it. We're not interested in how they wear it. It's how do we wear it. How is it that we can speak the language of the world better than the language of the Bible? Have we gone the same way as the Gentiles? How is it that we get married in the way of our culture and not the way of God? I've said this before and I'll say it again. Some of us got married, did what they call traditional wedding and so on and so forth. And now I know that there are some things wrong with some of those things that we're doing. Pay a dowry, no problem with paying a dowry. But all those carry this, carry that, of what use is it? We need to put a stop to it. Otherwise, we just find ourselves like yo-yos. We need to challenge ourselves to do the right thing. It's sad that many of us will grow up to be parents. And the same way we went to take wives is the same way we will expect. We are already warming up. Those of us who have female children, we're already warming up for the wine that we will drink. Because we are already planning traditional wedding now that child is 1 year old. You see, the man whose wife has been given back to girls, he said, oh, Allah, it means that there's more wine that is coming. He's already planning the wedding of his children traditionally. The word of God has not touched him one bit. He still wants to do it the way of the Gentiles. Verse 22. That you put off. Is that in your Bible? That you do what? Put off. Concerning your former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You must put off. The old man. You must put off the body of sin. You must put off that body of death. Verse 25 to 31. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. You see, when we read these things, we think of doing it in human effort. No. All he's saying is, go and walk in the Spirit. You will see these things happen. When you read the Bible, say the fruit of the Spirit, what is it talking about? When you say fruit of the Spirit, what is it talking about? It is the result of a life that is lived in the Spirit. There is no tree that bears fruit through struggle. The tree stays where it is planted, receives the nutrients that it should receive, brings out its green leaves, the sun, what do you call it? Is it photosynthesis you call it? The sun comes in, everything produces the fruit. And it is there. And the fruit is coming out in one tiny bud, a little flower changes to a tiny bud, grows a little bit, is green, and gradually is becoming ripe and ripe and ripe and is ready to be eaten. The tree effortlessly produces fruit because it is where it should be. If you have been planted in the soil of the love of God and the water of the Holy Spirit and of the Word has been sprinkled on you and no contamination is allowed in your life, you are going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. It is automatic. Many of us are trying to love. No, you don't try. When you are walking in the Spirit, you love. And we're not talking of romantic love. We're talking of the love of God. When the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, what does he say? He said, as Christ loved. How does Christ love the church? How did Christ love us? This is why we're yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible is saying, husbands, die for your wives. Even the bad ones. He says to the wives, wives, submit to your own husbands. He didn't say submit to the good husband, even to the bad one. If each one did what the word of God told him to do, we will have blissful marriages in our homes. But what we have is this one saying, I can't love a stubborn wife. The stubborn wife says, I can't submit to a loveless husband. Who is fooling who? If we will live as God wants us to live, the fruit will be there. He says, for we are members of one another. 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Anger is a very, very strong emotion, which
uncontrolled opens the door for the devil. As I said, be angry but sin not. Be angry but make sure that you close the door. The devil doesn't enter. How does it not enter? Make sure that the sun does not go down on your wrath. It is as a result of anger that people are killed. In a moment of anger, you just wipe. Why? That slap could turn something in the person's head and the person is dead. And they say you killed him because I didn't know. I didn't. Suddenly, what has happened to your body? It has come down. The devil that was pushing you to slap has now left you. Your whole eyes have said, I killed someone. But at that time, when your body was charged, when your emotion was up, you could do anything. We need to rid ourselves of the body of sin. Verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. If it wasn't there, why would they say put it away? It's not because it's there. So we need to put it away. We need to put it away. The same thing is repeated in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, from verse 5. It says, therefore, put to death or mortify. Kill, that's what it means. Your members which are on the earth. And what are those members which are on the earth? Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. The reason why we have the kind of gospel we're having is because that big preacher, he still had what? The body of death around him. It wasn't removed. So as he grew, the body of death stank even more. It was just a matter of time before greed came in and he began to preach prosperity. They saw that as the more they preached prosperity, the more the church purse increased. So they continued. And now the church became a big business. Now they are rich. Now they don't need to pray again to do anything because they have the money. And suddenly, covetousness has grown over the man. We are now living in an era where we get the messages and look at what it is doing. Is it bringing more money? Is it bringing more people? Yes, that's the message to preach. No. The message that we're interested in is the one that changes the life. Verse 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. So let's stop there. There is the need for the new man to arise. But the new man cannot arise as long as the old man is present. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are what? Behold, all things have become. The old must pass away first. We must put away the old man as we pray, breaking the barrier of stubbornness to the Holy Spirit. He comes and deals. All these things are removed. You can't do it on your own. You saw when we read Romans chapter 7, the man who was trying to do it on his own, how miserable he was in life. Nothing was happening. But there is a force, there is a power at work. It's the power of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It breaks that chain. Replace all the maggot that has entered every nook and cranny of your life. Completely renews you, makes you a new person, and gives you a newness of life. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 20 to 22. Matthew 13, verse 20 to 22. The parable of the sower. The Bible tells us the Lord was giving the interpretation of the parable and told us something about two hearts. Verse 20. It says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises, because of the word, immediately what happens? He stumbles. That man has stones inside his heart. There's no depth in him. The word can't enter because he is still filled with the old ways inside of him. So even when the word tries to grow a little bit, that's all it does. It doesn't have any root. The word doesn't, there's no space for deep roots. You need to evacuate that heart for the seed to say. In verse 22, it says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Then there's someone else. In his own life, all that has filled his life is how to make money. He wants to be a rich man. He wants to live well. He wants to drive jeeps. He wants to marry Miss World. He wants to send his children to the best schools in the world. As far as he's concerned, he doesn't care about all his village life. So those things are there. So when you preach, for example, a message telling him to release the money that is in his hands, is he going to listen to you? Because inside of him there's already a desire for the good life, the pleasurable life. Many of us have these problems. We come to church, we hear the word, we're excited, that word has challenged us. But there's no depth in us. What has filled our lives? The old man, all the nyawanyama of old is still inside there. It has not been removed. So when we hear the word, we're excited. Then a little challenge comes. And the old man rises and says, this suffering cannot be now. This gospel cannot be the gospel that brings suffering now. What are we doing? No. I don't agree with this. And then you see the fellow roaming around until he finds a place where they are going to preach the kind of gospel he likes. And he's there listening to that gospel. One day, you see, God has a way of dealing. When God loves us, he has a way of dealing. One day, the one is sitting down there and enjoying the rubbish that they're telling him there. Meanwhile, the fellow there has gone to plan a big program and has invited many big men of God and brought one small boy. The small boy has nothing to lose. The big men have reputation. So the big men are there lying to you and you're jumping up. Then the small boy comes for just 30 minutes. And by the time he finishes that 30 minutes, if it's as if they used a bomb to shell you. Because suddenly, all the yama yama inside your body is beginning to turn. You are vomiting. They say it's deliverance. It's actually deliverance. Because the things that you didn't want to release before, that little word of 30 minutes, you are vomiting it. You say, oh God, which kind of church I come today? Oh God, which kind of church I come today? It don't happen to me today. How I going to do this thing now? And Jada, they come today. Because what has happened is that, by reason of what has happened, that fornication that you were planning can no longer happen. It's as if the weapon for committing that fornication is as if they grabbed it and just squeezed it and locked it up somewhere. They're just there. No, plus when Jeanette come and look at you, he said, oh boy, how now? Today, go. He said, Jeanette, go. Something don't happen to me. Go. That's when you hear him listen. There's a change since I met God. My life has changed. He said, boy, why are you singing that song? You've been born again. I wasn't born again. I was born against them. Now I am born again. What has happened? Your life has suddenly changed. It is that kind of encounter that we want to have today. Where all those rubbish are removed and thrown away. There was a scripture I was looking for last week. I think I found it. Ezekiel chapter 11. It is God's promise to you and I. Let me just read from verse 17. Therefore, say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, that's Ezekiel 11 from 17. I'll gather from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there, and they will take away all the detestable things and all its abominations from there. That's your heart. All the nyawanyaman that entered when you were in exile in the world that you have acquired must be removed. Verse 19. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of, that the heart that will listen to God, the heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their. Once that exchange takes place, obedience is not a problem anymore. You will know the will of God, and you will do it. Right now, we are struggling because there is still the old man, filled with all the things that he put in them. And those things must be uprooted. Jeremiah chapter 4. Verse 3 and 4. Or 4a. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. We are the men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. We are the new Israel, the spiritual Israel. We are the ones who will indwell the new Jerusalem. And God is saying we should break up our fallow grounds. Do you remember the story that the Lord Jesus told of the man from whom they had removed an evil spirit? Do you remember that story? And the man did nothing with his life. He left it fallow. And this evil spirit went all over the place looking for a place to rest and didn't find. He said, well, let me even go and check whether the place where they drove me out from is still available.
Only to get there and discover that the place is empty.
And what did he do?
He said, let's not rush it. Let's go and invite some more dangerous fellows. So that at least they will now, so if they come back and cast us, they won't cast them, they will cast, because it's only me they recognize, they will cast me out. But those also will still be there. I can always return and they will give me accommodation. So he goes and brings seven more wicked, ones more wicked than him, and they enter that man. You look at the man was born again. We prayed and poured saliva on his head until he began to speak in tongues. Suddenly, that same man is stealing. He's committing fornication regularly. I'm not talking of, a mistake and he crashed. Regularly, with impunity. He is stealing. He's cheating. He's doing things that, even as an unbeliever, he wasn't doing. What happened? He left his ground. And the Bible says, break it up. Let's begin to uproot all those stones. Those stones that hardened your heart from the world. That is still making your heart to be hardened to the world. Let's break it open. Let's begin to dig out those stones. Throw them away. Let's start seeing a new man in all of us. Let the work of circumcision be complete. Many of us still trump our culture, our tradition, over the word of God. And we say we are born again. We say we are spirit-filled. Many of us will still celebrate Valentine's Day. And we say we are born again. We say we are spirit-filled. We won't read the Bible anymore. We just hear what people say and then we do it. When the Spirit of God comes into your heart and somebody is preaching heresy from the word of God, he will tell you, that's a lie. That's not my word. But you see, we are preoccupied. When we say, let us pray in church. Father, they want to sack me from work. You have been going there too. Lord, they want to sack me. All those who want to sack me, fall down and die. Meanwhile, you are going late. You have not addressed the lateness. You want your enemies. They are now your enemies. You see, the problem we have is we don't know that God can use an unbeliever to discipline us. If we will not listen to the word, we will go and bring an unbeliever to beat you to life. You will cry that cry and pray that prayer. On Monday when you get to the office, they will still give you a sack letter. Because I tell you, you will still go late. That same Monday that you know they are going to give you a sack letter. You will say, I'm praying. Nothing will happen. You will jump up and boast. Father, in the name of Jesus, it won't happen. I was once at an airport coming to Port Harcourt from Lagos. And I heard a lady saying, can you imagine? They've taken my things to Calabar. I have to board another plane. She was at that airport. They were announcing the departure of her flight. She was in the canteen eating. She wasn't listening to the flight. Then after all that, she said, in Jesus' name, you are. It has happened. The plane has gone already. So what is so the plane should fall down because of you? In Jesus' name, it can't happen. The plane has gone. So what is in Jesus' name, it can't happen. It already happened. Is your prayer, that is an irresponsible prayer. And there's a lot of that going on. And it must change. It is time for us to address what is inside our hearts. Because this matter of this book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth. It can't happen until we have dealt with the issue of the heart. Because out of the heart are the issues. If you have stone in your heart, what is going to come out is stone. The works of the flesh are the ordinary result. You see, the way when you walk in the spirit, you bear naturally the fruit of the spirit. When you walk in the flesh, what do you bear? Naturally the fruit of the, which the Bible calls the works of the. So when you see the man committing fornication, what is inside his heart? It's fornication. That's what he's doing. It's natural. So is there something that you are doing? Well, we've said now that we know what is bad and we know what is good. And you know what you are doing that is bad. You know what you are doing that is a sin. We have ripped the foreskin of the heart open. And we are seeing bodies of death tied around all of us. Now we need that freedom. I can't release anybody. What is good to release us today? Eh? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Again, we have to go and address these issues. And to help us, look at that thing in you that is a struggle. You will promise that I won't do this thing again. That thing will happen. That is an issue that you want to take to God today. You will say, I'm never going to tell a lie. The next minute you are lying. I'm never going to steal. The next minute you are stealing. It is an issue. I'm never going to fornicate again. You will say, that evening you are going to fornicate. It's time to take the matter to God. It's just a simple thing. You say, Holy Spirit, come and remove this body of death that has tied itself to my life. Set me free. Set me free. Remove these things from me. The stones of stubbornness. The stones of lying. The stones of stealing. The stones of fornication. The stones of masturbation. The stones of homosexualism, the stones of gossip, the stones of jealousy, the stones of party spirit, come and remove them. The stones of I must get money by force, by hook or crook, I must have money. Come and remove those stones, Lord, from my life. Address those stones. The thoughts of, I must drive this car no matter what. And I will do everything to make sure I drive that car.
Address it today. It's the Holy Spirit you are going to. Say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. I've never given you room. I've never given you room up to now. I'm giving you room today. Come and free me from this body of death that is following me about. Let the sweet fragrance of the Spirit begin to ooze forth of my life. Talk to the Lord, brethren. Pray to God. Pray to God. What is that thing that you don't like? You know it is bad. You know it. You know it yourself. You don't need anybody to tell you that this is what you are doing. That you know it yourself. You are trying on your own to remove it, but it's not going. This is the matter for the Holy Spirit. It's not what you can do. It is the Holy Spirit that will come in there and remove it. He will come in there and deal with the thing. Completely clean your heart. We are asking for the work of sanctification to continue in our lives. Talk to the Lord today. Talk to the Lord today. Talk to the Lord today. Those things that you find yourself doing, you know this is wrong. You know it. You know I should not be doing this. And yet you are doing it. Talk to the Lord. By the way, if you are here today and you have never at any time given your life to Jesus Christ, come to the front of the altar. Just come and meet me now so I can talk to you. I need to have a special discussion with you. The people who are praying are people who have already received Jesus into their lives. If you have not received Jesus into your life, come. I will have a special discussion with you in front here. Come. Yes, come. Come. Come and when you come and kneel down here and you ask the Lord to save your soul. Come, come quickly, come quickly. They are coming. Come quickly. You come and kneel down here. Everybody's praying. Don't bother. Nobody's looking at your face. Kneel down here and talk to God on your own. Talk to God there. Ask Him to come and save your soul. Do your own matter there. Tell Him, save my soul. Save my soul. Come and meet me today at the point of my need. I came here to be saved. Save my soul today. Save my soul today. Those of us who say that we are already saved. And we are seeing these issues in our lives. We say, Lord, today. Lord, today, let your Spirit come in. As the umbrella tears open, and we see the bodies of death, let them fall away. Let the maggots be cleaned off. Let it be totally clean today. Let the sweet fragrance of your Spirit encompass my life today. Let the sweetness of the Holy Spirit become manifest in my life today. That newness of life, let it begin to happen today in the name of Jesus. Oh, brethren, are we talking to God? Let's talk to God today. Send your Spirit, Almighty God. And let every work of the flesh that is in me, let it be mortified today. Let it be killed today. Let death come to the flesh in me today. In the name of Jesus. Talk to the Lord today. Talk to the Lord today. Oh, brethren, today is the day when you should be set free. Today is the day when you should no longer struggle. The struggle should end today. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has come in to release you, to cut free every body of death that has been following you about. That body of sin, that body of gossip that has been following you about. That body of lies that has been following you about. That body of masturbation that has been following you about. It must drop today in the name of Jesus. Every evil desire that has been pursuing you about, it must die today in the name of Jesus. Talk to God today. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Is it addiction to drugs, addiction to cigarettes, addiction to heartbreak? You probably do it in secret when nobody is seeing you. You say you won't do it again. But then you just smell the thing a little bit and you are there. It must go today in the name of Jesus. Talk to God. Talk to God, brethren. Oh, talk to God on your own. Oh, brethren. Today is the day we need to resolve these issues. We need to resolve these issues. Let's resolve it once and for all today. Let's resolve it once and for all today. What is that thing? Every time you try, it will come up again. Every time you try, well, the good news is you don't need to try anymore. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life and give Him direct access. Tell Him, Holy Spirit, you have full access. Enter every area of my life.
and anything in my life that is not pleasing to the Lord, come and just pack it out of my life. Pack it out of my life. Pack it out of my life. A work of renovation is taking place in somebody's life right now. I am seeing debris being packed out of that person's life. And a new thing is about to happen in your life. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit. We must be new beings today. New beings created after righteousness and holiness. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. How can sin be operating in your life when Christ is there? There's a Yoruba song that says, the devil cannot build a house near the house of Jesus. Before he finishes it, we shall break it down. We are children of the living God, so let's talk to God today. Say, Father, this contradiction must never happen again. Every area of my life that is not pleasing to you, Lord, visit today. Visit today. Visit today. Let my desire for righteousness be strong. Let my hatred for sin and iniquity be there. Let me detest iniquity. Let me detest sin. Let me never love sin again in my life. Talk to the Lord, brethren. We need to resolve these issues. We need to resolve these issues. There are some things that we need to settle before we can begin to make the kind of progress that God wants us to make. And these are issues that need to be resolved. How can we carry sin in our bosom and say we are going to preach? We must deal with it. We must deal with it. Oh, for I know that the Lord is going to use us. He's going to use us to touch the world. But we must deal with everything. We must do what is foundational, what is critical, what is important. Brethren, talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Our prayer is not going to end today. We have to pray this prayer every day of our lives until we are sure. Until the change takes place in our lives. We no longer want to live according to our power. We want to live in the power of the Holy Ghost. So you are going to put the Holy Ghost in your heart. You are going to give Him His place in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Almighty God. We give you glory, we give you praise. We worship you, Almighty God. We glorify your name. Makata lika brusondele. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Makata lika brusondele. Regedelege magadaya lika brufondele. Masakata lika brakata lege. Mandayanika Brogodo Lege Magada Rekeke. Brasa Katanika Makoto Rekeke Brakanda Lege. Masondurika Brogodo Lege Magada Rekeke. Rekete Lege Makatanika Brokondo Lege. Come and take your place, O Lord. Come and take your place, O Lord. In my life, come and take your place. In my life, come and take your place. Come and take your place, O Lord. Come and take your place,
valley, there is a sweet in the atmosphere. Come and lay down the burdens you have carried, for in the sanctuary God is here. Come and lay down the burdens you have carried, for in the sanctuary God is here.
Father, I pray that every burden that came into this room will disappear in the name of Jesus. I pray, everlasting Father, that as we rise up today, the newness of life will follow us to our various homes. Every old man will be completely destroyed in the name of Jesus. And the newness of life will arise. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.